stand in condemnation of Israeli atrocities against them. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to World News. Now, our top story, beginning with the dire situation in the besieged Gaza Strip, where the Israeli regime is still transforming every street into scenes of bloodshed as it relentlessly presses ahead with its bloodiest onslaught against innocent women and children. Most recent series of Israeli airstrikes have killed 40 Palestinians. Among latest targets, the Al-Barij refugee camp in Gaza and UN-operated school in northern city of Beit Lahia. Regime also targeted several hospitals where people were seeking refuge. Palestinians complain that Israel is conducting airstrikes indiscriminately all across a blockaded territory.
I fled from one hospital to another. I thought hospitals were safe, but nowhere is safe. We are staying on the street. There is no shelter for me and my children to sleep at night. I thought hospitals were safe, but they are not. Hospitals are being bombed.
We have been displaced to this school as a safe place, according to the Israeli army commands. But unfortunately, even at UNRWA shelters, we can't find safety after retreating from northern Gaza Strip.
Death toll in Gaza is now near 11,200, with more than 8,000 women and children falling victim to the regime's relentless raids. Hundreds are also buried beneath the debris of buildings ravaged by bombing. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime is waging its ground operation in Gaza as well. Intense clashes have been reported in the vicinity of Gaza City. The Quds Brigades of the Islamic Jihad Resistance Movement says that it's targeted Israeli troops and vehicles south of the city. The regime says 44 of its soldiers have been killed in the ground invasion that began 2 weeks ago, but resistance forces say the actual number is much higher. And nothing is probably more synonymous with war crimes than the targeting of hospitals and killing war-stricken people taking shelter there. And that is what is happening in Gaza, where the healthcare system is deteriorating rapidly and more hospitals are becoming dysfunctional. The Israeli military has encircled Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City while bombing it repeatedly over the past few days. According to reports, Israeli snipers continue to fire at anyone near the medical facility. The World Health Organization describes the situation at the hospital as dire and perilous. Hospital's latest generator has also run out of fuel, which has led to the deaths of 5 premature babies and 7 patients that were in critical condition. The Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, has denied the claim that it refused Israeli fuel offer to Al-Shifa. Director of the medical facility also called Israeli claim a propaganda stunt. Palestinian officials say that all the hospitals in north of Gaza are currently out of service. Hospitals in Gaza are fast turning into mass graves for patients and medics in the midst of calls for safe evacuations, receiving no response from the international community. Now, Dr. Khan Yunis of Southern Gaza has delivered that as a statement on the devastating situation of hospitals in the besieged enclave.
Hospital under fires. The last example is Shifa Hospital ICU. There is another private obstetric hospital was targeted directly today, and 2 of our colleagues who are specialists in obstetric and gynecology were killed tonight. There is no service for pediatric patients in the northern area. 5 kids in the pediatric ICU left alone in Rantisa Hospital, and we don't know what's going on with them. The communication were lost, so they might be dead or alive. So now in Shifa Hospital, they cannot deal with the dead bodies. There is a tenth of dead bodies back in the hospital. Stray dogs were seen attacking the dead bodies, so the dignity for dead people are lost now. Shifa Hospital and Indonesian Hospital are the only hospital can operate in the north, and people cannot reach them. So situation there is very critical and dangerous. Medical teams and patients inside Shifa Hospital sending calls for a human community, for international organization for safe evacuation, with no response. Around 600 severely wounded patients need to be evacuated. So this is a call for Egypt government to send ambulances toward Shifa Hospital so these 600 severely wounded patients can be evacuated safely. So our medical teams in Shifa Hospital now are facing death because they just committed to their patients till the last moments, which doesn't happen before anywhere else in the world. So basic requirement for Shifa Hospital, Indonesian hospital operation, like fuel, medical supply, safe inlet and exit are urgently required. So fuel as well and basic medical supply needed in the southern hospital, like Nasser Hospital, European Gaza Hospital, because now there is a huge pressure on the health system with lack of fuel, with lack of medical equipment. Thank you very much.
The dire situation, a humanitarian crisis in Gaza, partners about to get worse. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says its fuel depot is now empty, warning further shutdowns in the next 48 hours. UNRWA chief said UN body will no longer be able to supply hospitals, remove sewage, and provide drinking water starting November 15th. UN agency is currently sheltering nearly 800,000 people, about half the total population of Gaza. UNRWA's fuel is also used to remove hundreds of tons of solid waste from increasingly overcrowded camps in Gaza. Now, lack of fuel is said to cause health and environmental disaster. Israel's military has so far refused imports of fuel into Gaza, saying they could be used by Hamas for military purposes. Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement has launched retaliatory strikes from southern Lebanon against Israeli forces amid escalating tensions in border areas. Our correspondent Mariam Saleh joined us earlier with the details.
We had several rockets fired from South Lebanon into the western side of the Galilee. The Israelis said that they hit one of them hit a football field. Others, it's not clear whether they hit targets. Now, these rockets have been claimed by Al-Qassam brigades. Hezbollah, usually when they launch these sorts of Katyusha rockets, they usually, of course, claim responsibility, and they do say that they have targeted, but usually they do so when they are hitting specific targets in the kibbutz that are facing the Lebanese southern border. We also had Israeli shelling, which continues since last night, early this morning, against the towns of Labune, Shaheen, and Jabain. And also earlier, they targeted Aita Shop, and these are all bordering villages. And so basically, this is the latest development concerning the exchange of fire.
People around the world continue hitting streets to show solidarity with Palestinians and demanding an end to Israeli bloodshed in Gaza. Hundreds of people attended a rally in Australia's biggest city of Sydney. They denounced Israel's actions in Gaza, waved the Palestinian flag, and chanted slogans such as, "Palestine will never die." The Spaniards packed an underground station in Barcelona, demanding Israel halt its military action in the Palestinian territory. In Ireland's capital, Dublin, protesters urged the government to expel the Israeli ambassador. South Africans held another rally in Cape Town, also demanding the expulsion of the Israeli envoy and closure of the Israeli embassy. Similar rallies are also held in the capitals of France, Germany, Belgium, and Britain, where people condemn Israel's brutality against Gaza. In London, over 300,000 people marched toward the U.S. embassy, calling for an end to the war on Gaza. And joining us now for some special coverage is Ashraf Shannon, joining us from Khan Yunis and Saif Shah, author and Middle East affairs expert, joining us out of Belfast. We're going to start with our correspondent out of the besieged enclave in Khan Yunis, Ashraf Shannon. Ashraf, hope you're doing well and you're safe, you, your colleagues, your family. What can you tell us with respect to the developments on the ground there?
Well, Danny, Israeli fighter jets continue to bomb almost every spot in the Gaza Strip, including areas around Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. At least 12 people were killed today, including 8 children, as Israeli fighter jets bombed the areas of Bani Sahla and Al Qarara east of Khan Yunis, as well as areas adjacent to Nasser Hospital. This is the biggest hospital in southern Gaza. It's one of the last three remaining functioning hospitals in the entire Gaza Strip. The other hospitals are the Khan Yunis European Hospital, as well as the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir el-Balah. Now, every hospital north of the Gaza Wadi or the Gaza Valley is out of service, including, of course, the Shifa Hospital that has been under heavy bombardment by the Israeli regime and heavy tank shelling, mainly outside the hospital, around the hospital, and also and attacks on almost every building surrounding the Shifa Hospital. The Israeli regime claims that the leadership, the military commanders of Hamas, are hiding under the Shifa Hospital, which is absurd and definitely untrue. And everyone can vouch for that. Even the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Interior has called on the international community, called on the UN and the International Committee of the Red Cross to send inspectors to check it. And no one has responded. Things are so bad in Gaza, in the northern parts, mainly in Gaza City, that only 7 ambulances are still working due to the fact that many ambulances were bombed by the Israeli regime, and also the fact that there's not any fuel left for the other ambulances. Gaza Hospital has no electricity, no water, no food. And there are a few hundred patients and injured people inside the hospital. And most of the ICU patients have died, and as well as the premature babies. In addition, there are about 120 or 130 bodies laying on the ground inside Shifa Hospital that even stray dogs were started to mold the bodies of those victims, as the Israeli regime refuses to allow hospital staff to dig a mass grave and bury them. And the hospital staff is worried about the spread of disease, as the bodies, some of them, have been there for four days now and decomposing under the sun. In Gaza Strip in general, the humanitarian situation is disastrous. Israel has been carrying out genocide, extermination of Palestinians. Over 12,000 people have been killed. Nearly 30,000 others have been injured. Out of the 30,000 people who are injured, doctors expect half of them to die because there's no medication and no post-surgery follow-up, nothing. Hospitals like Nasser Hospital is working at nearly more than 200% of its capacity. And most injured people, when they come in, if they have a medium to serious injury, they're likely to die. They go in from one gate and exit the other to the morgue.
Thank you, Ashraf. Stay safe. Ashraf Shannon joining us there out of Khan Yunis. And we're going to swing over to our guest now, Saeb Shah, author and Mideast expert, joining us out of Belfast. Thank you for your patience, Mr. Shah, and welcome to the program, our conversation here with respect to Gaza. Your initial thoughts about the atrocities over the last 38 days in the besieged enclave. And our correspondent we just talked to, Mr. Shah, is in front of Al Nasser Hospital. The UNRWA is providing that hospital with fuel. It's one of very few hospitals still up and running. And UNRWA just said moments ago that its a fuel depot is out. It's out of completely out of fuel now, warning for further shutdowns in the next 48 hours. So things are about to go from horrible to extremely horrible and very quickly. Your initial thoughts, please.
I think the Zionist entity with its Western backers in this war of war crimes and extermination and genocide against the oppressed Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip, which is occupied and located by the Zionist entity. With the images we see, it's a humiliation. They want to humiliate those people. They want to degrade the Palestinian people, the survivors or the dead. As we heard, your correspondent said, even some of the people talking about dogs around the Shifa hospitals, which turning to part of it to be a mass grave, eating the dead bodies. And in the culture and religious thought of the people of Palestine, which the majority of Muslims or the Christians, a barrier is to save the dignity of the dead bodies. Now these bodies are all over the streets, and when we think of this, and yesterday I heard the German chancellor even refusing to entertain the idea of calling for ceasefire. This is, can we understand, is a collective Western punishment for the Palestinian people who managed to resist and managed to change equations in that region. Like, I'll give you an example why they are shocked to the core. In 1967, the Zionist Entity Army, supported, of course, by the West, it took less than 60 days to occupy Sinai and to occupy the Golan Heights and the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and the parts of South Lebanon from Arabic regimes. Today, it's taken them 38 days to reach just around the hospital, Shifa Hospital. And they're trying this propaganda warfare, which is they done in Iraq, to make the world focus like their target is the Shifa Hospital. And we heard the propaganda and the lies about the hospitals in Gaza have some military personnel inside it. When the international doctors who's been there serving for 16 years said they never seen someone out of the ordinary in there, all civilians. We know this. They when the Americans attacked Iraq in 2003 and they focused on the airport of Iraq, George Bush and the Western Alliance made the whole world think, and the Iraqi people mainly, this is the decisive battle, the port of Iraq. And once this battle is finished, all Iraq will be in their hands. And this psychological thing to make the people believe it's over. And they're trying to do the same thing now in Gaza City, surrounding Shifa Hospital, shooting anything moving inside or outside the vicinity hospital, using white phosphorus around the vicinity of the hospital. Lots of dead bodies you see from the people who's been pushed to go from north to the south by the Israeli occupation forces. But at the same time, what we say, the people in Palestine, they understand this, the psychological warfare they're playing with them. But the urgent stuff in here, we know the resistance is stopping them. We know they're denying the losses they have in Gaza. They know they cannot secure sometimes meters around in Gaza. And we know they are in a very small few hundreds meters they crossed into Gaza. But the amount of bombardment, the amount of destruction, the amount of vicious killing, it's unprecedented.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
Fueled by demands from the Zionist lobby groups, U.S. students who are organizing against Israel's genocidal attacks are facing accelerated repression by their own university administrations. These McCarthyite efforts are being encouraged by the Biden administration, but students and civil rights groups are fighting back. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, 2 weeks ago, the Anti-Defamation League and the Louis D. Brandeis Center for Human Rights Under Law, two right-wing Israel lobby groups masquerading as civil rights organizations, sent notices to hundreds of U.S. universities urging them to punish students who are protesting the Zionist regime's slaughter in Gaza and designate them as terrorists. The two lobby groups demanded that administrations immediately investigate campus chapters of Students for Justice in Palestine for potential violations of the prohibition against materially supporting a foreign terrorist organization. This defamatory and incendiary language was bolstered by the Biden administration's spokesperson, Karine Jean-Pierre, who, on October 30, equated anti-racist activists who protest the Zionist regime's genocide in Gaza with violent white supremacists. The Biden administration released plans to appease the ADL's claims of optics in anti-Jewish bigotry by partnering with law enforcement, the Department of Justice, and the Department of Homeland Security to track hate-related threats and provide federal resources to schools, according to NBC News. An unnamed White House official told NBC that dozens of cybersecurity and protective security experts at DHS have been detailed to engage with schools as they navigate incredibly tense environments. An associate professor at the City University of New York tweeted recently that faculty were just informed that Muslim students' social media posts about the war are being surveilled by the college and have been reported to the NYPD. Way ahead of the Biden administration, Florida's government had already begun employing such tactics of surveillance and punishment of students in the state. On October 24th, the chancellor of the State University System of Florida released a memorandum directing public universities in Florida to deactivate chapters of National Students for Justice in Palestine on their campuses. stated the civil rights group Palestine Legal. The group added, "The memo is filled with erroneous, factual, and legal claims that seek to distract from, distort, and silence the message of a student activist across the United States, the same way Israeli propaganda has sought to distract public attention from ongoing Israeli war crimes." Palestine Legal warned Florida legislators that the call to ban SJP chapters is a flagrant violation of the First Amendment and that it will be challenged in court. The lawyers noted that Florida is attempting to circumvent constitutional rights by claiming that language referring to resistance and the statement that Palestinian students in exile are part of this movement, not in solitary with this movement, somehow makes National Students for Justice in Palestine or the independent student groups that share its name guilty of support for terrorism under the law. This claim, on which the ADL and the Brandeis Center are also relying, has been used across the U.S. as Islamophobia and anti-Arab bigotry remains unchallenged. Palestine Legal stated, "Independent protest and organizing in support of Palestinian rights do not constitute material support for terrorism." A coalition of civil rights organizations have urged more than 650 U.S. universities to protect your students from the ongoing campaign to harass, defame, and silence supporters of Palestinian human rights. Palestine Legal and the Center for Constitutional Rights also demanded that the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights address rising Islamophobic and anti-Palestinian attacks. The U.S. Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, offered a both-sided approach, saying that he will ask Congress for more funding so that we can make sure we are expediting investigations against anti-Semitism or Islamophobia. The Biden administration is scrambling to hold onto support from Arab and Muslim voters, which has slipped dramatically over Biden's support for the Zionist regime's war crimes. However, universities seem to be heeding the Israel lobby's call to crack down on students' activism in defense of Palestinians. Recently, the Gray Zone reported that David Friedman, the former ambassador to Israel under President Donald Trump, signed a letter to top New York University officials demanding that the university crack down on and even prosecute students who protest Israeli regime's attacks. Brandeis University, meanwhile, revoked its recognition of its Students for Justice in Palestine chapter after students planned to hold a candlelight vigil for the 10,000 Palestinians killed in the Zionist regime's month-long attacks. Using a racist trope that equates support for Palestinians' rights to a call for the deaths of Jews, the university falsely and libelously claimed that National SJP has called on its chapters to engage in conduct that supports Hamas in its call for violent elimination of Israel and the Jewish people. National SJP, for its part, has amplified voices of student activists and called out the mass campaign of lies fueled by Islamophobic and anti-Arab tropes used to generate manufactured consent for the obliteration of an entire people by the Zionist Project and the U.S. Empire. According to Middle East Monitor, almost two decades after the publication of John Mearsheimer and Stephen Wolff's seminal book, The Israel Lobby and the U.S. Foreign Policy, the influence of the pro-Israel lobby on U.S. politics continues to increase. This influence plays a significant part in shaping Washington's policies and position on the Israel-Palestine issue, preventing Washington from playing an effective mediation role in the region while weakening the U.S. position in the long term. This is true no matter who is in the White House. Lobbying plays a considerable role in U.S. political landscape, policy decisions, and election outcomes. Through substantial campaign contributions, media influence, financial support, and perception management actions, organizations such as AIPAC, JFNA, ADL, and J Street have a big say in America's Israel-related and other policies.
Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil fa. Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing the different objectives of supplications. We said that the great source of Islamic supplications are a big teaching program that actually seems that the infallibles are educating the people. And sometimes, specifically in the third objective we mentioned, that most of the complicated issues, like mental and philosophical issues, are dealt with in these supplications. We said, for example, the words and phrases of Imam Hussein in Arafah supplication. When Imam says, Bika araftuka. When Imam says, I have known you by you. When Imam says, Lawla ant lam adri ma ant. When Imam says, without you, I will never know what you are. This means that this is the best kind of reasoning possible. This means that Imam does not feel qualified enough in his mind to realize God. So that is why he said, I have known you by you. This in itself, at the same time that is answering one of the most sophisticated philosophical issue, and actually is a guideline for the one who wants to recognize the Almighty Allah, is at the same time praising the Almighty Allah. And it is, as we said in the previous episode as well, it is just like if you want to know God through your mind, it is just like this, to look for sun during the day by the light of the candle. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in another part of this supplication, refers to the proof of this issue. And Imam says, and uses a fascinating interpretation. Imam says, أَلِغَيْرِكَ مِنَ الظُّهُورِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هُوَ الْمُظْهَرُ لَكَ. Is there any other one besides you, having what you do not have so that other one would introduce you? Have you ever been absent so that we would need a guide to get to you? That is why he says, بِكَعَرَفْتُكَ. That is why we need you to know you. That is why we need to know you through you. وَمَتَى بَعُدْتَ حَتَّى تَكُونَ الْآثَارِ هِيَ الَّتِي تُوصِلُ إِلَيْكَ. Have you ever been distant so that the signs would be needed to lead to you? عَمِيَتْ عَيْنٌ لَا تَرَاكَ عَلَيْهَا رَقِيبًا. The eye, which does not see you as the observer on it, is blind.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va pas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So this sense that the Almighty Allah is really realized by His words, by Himself, through Himself, is also reflected in the other parts of the supplications as well. For example, when Imam alayhi salam says, Ilahi, amartani birruju'i ila al-athar, O my Lord, you have ordered me to refer to your signs, fa'arji'ni ilayka bikaswati al-anwar, so you take me to you with the proof of light, wa hidayati al-istibsar, and the guidance of insight, حتى أرجع إليك منها كما دخلت إليك منها مصون السر عن النظر إليها. So that I shall return to you from them as I have come to you by them, preserving your secrets when seeing your signs. So this is exactly the same that the Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Will they not then consider the camels, how they are created? وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. And the heavens, how it is reared aloft? وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. And how the mountains are firmly fixed? وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُتِحَتْ. And how the earth is made, how it is made a vast expanse. So, Imam says, but I humbly beg your magnanimity without letting doubts overcome me. I turn towards you because you are the clearest and you need no reason to prove yourself. Rather, you are the reason for everything. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Part 2.
Here, Israel set up a plutonium separation facility with one goal, the manufacturing of atomic bombs. In the 60s, American inspectors visited the first floor. They saw the restaurants and the offices. A special wall was constructed, hiding the elevators leading to the underground levels. Back outside, trucks bring in the processed uranium rods. Through the large doors, a crane grasps the rods and lowers them to the big workspace four floors below. The rods are dipped in nitrous acid tanks, cooked for about 30 hours, and then a system of pipes draws the water containing the uranium and plutonium. Through a chemical process, the materials are separated and then baked in an oven, producing a small 130-gram plutonium ball, 1.7 kilograms a week, 4 kilograms, and it's a bomb. Just like this model shot by Vananov, the process can be viewed from level 2. A balcony was built for distinguished guests, nicknamed Golder's Balcony. And that's the control room as shot by Vananov. Only 150 employees are authorized to enter it. Visits are limited to the Prime Minister, the Ministry of Military Affairs, and a small group of confidants. Equipped with a hidden camera, Vananov walked about Institute No. 2 and took pictures of the different sections. Not only plutonium is produced here. At level No. 4, Vananov revealed the production of tritium used in the production of thermonuclear bombs, which are more powerful than ordinary atomic bombs. Two other essential materials for the bomb are produced here, lithium and deuterium. All these ingredients are taken to level 5, to unit MD2, the metal department, where they are assembled into a bomb. One level down is a recreation room where Vananov shot what experts identified as a model of an Israeli thermonuclear bomb. 10 times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Experts that analysed Vananov's testimony determined that by the 80s, Israel had produced 100 to 200 atomic bombs. This ranks Israel as the 6th or even 5th nuclear power in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Queen Al International Airport in Amman.
From Amman, we travel to southern Jordan. high cancer rates were recorded in all the southern Jordanian governorates, which confirms the possible direction of nuclear dust that might be leaking from Dimona. Tips we received claim that in Jordan there are hundreds of cases of cancer and other diseases, all of them in the regions near the border with Israel. From Tal Afar to Dimona, it is about 30 kilometres, and winds or water knows no borders. In almost every house in this region, we can find the same story, diseases and death. Dimona is a word that everybody knows around here. But in Jordan, like in Israel, Dimona and its deadly consequences are a taboo. Saleh is a tour guide and an activist. For years, he is trying to uncover what is happening to the people around the Tafila region. Our next stop is in Tafila. Here, the average manifestation of cancer is higher than the other Jordanian governorates and surrounding Arab countries. Going to visit the governor's office, where we are going to meet the mayor and the governor of the region. It's a surprise what we are going to hear.
There is people claiming that the Israeli nuclear plant is affecting people here in this side of the border and in Tafila area. What do you can say about this?
During our visit to the governor's office, there was a Jordanian journalist present. Ghazi Al-Amerin invites us to meet him far away from the official offices and tells us the result of years trying to investigate how Dimona can be a silent killer. People around Tafila region are dying from cancer in high numbers. Doctors link the cases to Dimona contamination. But officially, nobody can say it, not even the ones that are dying. Dana is an amazing natural treasure in Jordan, too close to Dimona. Bassem Saudi was born here, in this land, a step away from Dimona nuclear plant. He knows that his people are dying silently and wants answers that never come. Is Dimona nuclear plant poisoning its Arab neighbours? We are back in Palestine. Visit some villages south of Al-Khalil, very close to the Negev Desert and Dimona. Here, the cancer rates are growing in alarming numbers. The causes are not more than rumours. Nuclear radioactive leakage from Dimona and nuclear waste dumps in the area, or even both. We try to find a clear answer to these rumours in Berlin with Xantha Hall.
200 cubic metres a year were produced in Dimona, and it's been running for more than 40 years. We can estimate about 8,000 cubic metres of radioactive waste have been, as the bottom line, have been produced. And to try and imagine what that is, it's maybe, in a picture, 50,000 standard barrels of oil would be about 8,000 cubic metres. We also don't know where they bury this waste. They say that it's not far from the reactor, and the main problem that we're looking at here is what state are these stainless steel containers in? Are they corroded? Will they be leaking? Are they seeping into the ground, into the water sources? Are we seeing pollution of the environment, and therefore of people's health? I mean, I don't know exactly the geography of the area, but there it's chalk, and I imagine that the whole area is probably also chalk, and that is not a good area to be deposing any kind of waste. And they saw that with this toxic waste dump because there was leakages and serious health problems were discovered. So I would imagine that it would be similar in the area around Dimona because it's not far away. And also whether it gets into the water or not, because once it gets into the water, then it transports much further into other areas and people can drink it that are quite far away. So then we're talking about basically that there would be cancers later on or leukemia, and in particularly the children would be badly affected because children and especially women are more susceptible to radiation. The effects on them are much greater than grown men, for instance. I would say that those are the ones that we have found definitely in the studies that have been done around nuclear installations in Germany, that the main problem was childhood cancer. And in the areas surrounding plutonium reprocessing plants like Sellafield in the UK, the main problem was leukemia.
The radioactivity has a tremendous power that can penetrate the human gene, affecting generation after generation. Jamal is a Palestinian policeman. He was arrested after the Second Intifada and spent 13 years in jail. Now he is free, but living a new hell. His daughter has cancer. At the age of 9, she was diagnosed with leukemia. Nothing in the medical report says this Palestinian girl is a direct victim of Dimona. But she comes from an area that counts 70% of cancer cases among the Palestinian population. Israel is probably the 6th or even 5th nuclear power in the world. While others should open the doors of their nuclear programs for inspections, Israel is a special case, producing nuclear weapons since the 60s without any control. Meanwhile, the cancer cases and other diseases are spreading across Israel, Palestine, and neighboring Arab countries. The victims die without knowing what or who is killing them.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my son, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. I've dug the earth with my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. And you, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms. I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you. My roots, Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since somebody inside my aching heart, somebody inside our land, our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice. Your blood roots me here, this land.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
knowing inside the deadly Israeli attacks in the Gaza Strip and occupied West Bank, regime is still pounding civilian targets, including schools and hospitals. Meanwhile, the Palestinian refugee agency UNRWA is warning its fuel depot in Gaza will no more be able to supply hospitals in a few days. And rallies are held throughout the world in solidarity with Palestinians and in condemnation of